It is completely frozen solid with ice touching all parts of it. So we put it in a bucket of water, essentially, and they froze it.
It's really sophisticated here.
It's a very big bucket of water that they put it in.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, joined by Matt Anderson. Today, we're visited by Jason Melby, International Marketing for Daktronics. He's going to talk about Integrated Systems Europe 2020. Daktronics' presence at the show, what we're bringing to our stand, and other interesting tidbits will be talked about in this episode. And we're here today with Jason. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, he welcomed Matt. That's awesome.
We're recording, right?
Don't get used to it, Matt.
So, Jason, you joined us about a year ago, and you were talking about ISE then, and we're going to do that again this year. So what have you been up to in the past year since ISE 19?
Well, we've had a lot of really interesting products being released, and I've had an opportunity to go to a lot of shows around the world, really. As we've introduced new products that have really been targeted to fill some of the product gaps that we've had in the marketplace, those products have been really well received. And as we move forward, we want to continue to bring those out, and ISE is one of those places where we do that. One of the really exciting things that we've done in the last couple months, last year we installed 93 displays at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yep.
We've had several product showcases where we've had the opportunity to bring customers and distributors in and show that space off. That's been one of probably the most exciting things that we've had going on over the last year. It's always good when we can show our products, not just in a trade show, but in the actual environment with how they're used. That's where people really tend to understand how they can then visualize that into their space when that happens.
Yeah, and you talked about ISE last year, right? It's one of the biggest shows that we do as a company, and you go throughout the year and go to different trade shows and events. Is there anything you're kind of thinking you might tweak this year when it comes to ISE, or anything you've learned from the past year you might adjust?
Well, last year was one of our best shows overall, so there's not too much that's changing from this year from last year.
Okay.
However, we do have some new products that are coming out, and we've made a few minor changes to the booth, but it was really well received last year, so there's not a lot changing from an overall booth space. We do make a really big investment. It's one of the largest shows in the world for AV technology. We bring around 40 to 50 people that we'll have at the stand. We meet with customers from all around the world. That's really what's unique about ISE, is people come from everywhere. We get customers from the U.S. there. Europe is heavily attended. The Middle East, Asia comes over, even a few from South America and Latin America regions. So it's a show of all different niches, really from around the world. It's really has a global draw.
So ISE is Integrated Systems Europe. And where is it held at? You say they come from around the world to this show. Where is it held this year and when?
So that's actually very interesting. This is the last year that the event will be held in Amsterdam. It's held at the Rai Center in Amsterdam. Next year, it's moving to Fira, Barcelona. It's interesting because the show started in Geneva, and they've had a couple different homes to accommodate the growth. Back when they started in 2004, there were 120 exhibitors and 3,500 visitors. Last year, there were 1,300 exhibitors and more than 81,000 people that came to the show.
Wow.
They've filled all 15 halls that are at the Rai Center, and they have more demand for more people wanting to come, and that really is what instigated needing to move to the new location.
So it's grown a little bit, is what you're saying.
It's grown a little bit. It's the size of a small city when it's going on. So,
So when is it this year again?
The show this year is February 11th to the 14th.
Okay, that's the entire show. Is it exhibit hours different than that, or is it exhibiting the whole time?
The whole show is exhibiting.
Okay.
They also have sessions that go on throughout the day.
That was going to be my question.
So there are some times where people go away to a specific session. There's also a few hosted sessions within that, such as the Agora Conference.
Okay.
We'll actually be a sponsor for the Agora Conference, and we'll have Ewan Prentice will be presenting on a panel about the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Oh, nice. Who else is going to be on the panel? Is it people from Tottenham, I'm guessing?
It's not from Tottenham.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw a zinger at you.
Threw a zinger at me.
I'm just letting my inquisitive mind run.
That's what he does best.
The other attendee, the other person that will be on the panel is Ryan Penny from Harman.
Oh, okay. So
the audio supplier for that particular project.
Nice. And that's the first time we've done any sponsorship for that part of it?
For that event, yes. Okay. This is the first time we've sponsored Agora. It's hosted by Mondo DR, Stadio.
Okay.
So they're hosting that particular event.
Yeah. Nice. And you mentioned this, so this started, and like the whole thing started in 04, is that what you said? Yeah.
The whole event started in 2004, and we've been an exhibitor since the first show.
Okay.
So like 16, 17 years, they grew from like 1,500 attendees, you said, to up to?
Yep, 3,500 attendees. Yep. It was 120 exhibitors, and now there's over 1,300 exhibitors with 81,000 people attending every year.
81,000, yeah. That's just like, what, four times the size of Brookings, where we're headquartered? Yeah.
Thanks for that perspective, Justin.
I'm here to help.
So you mentioned that there's a lot of different niches. People come from all around the world. And you don't have to give names and that kind of thing. But so then who does DAC usually send to these events? If you think of job roles, like to make sure, I got to imagine with a diverse group coming in, there's got to be a lot of different questions that come up and we got to kind of cover our bases, right?
We do. We have a very diverse group of people that go there. We have a couple of us from marketing that attend. We have our top management comes, or our CEO. We'll have vice presidents there. We have our regional sales managers. Most of our regional sales team comes to the event. But we also have product development and engineers that come to the event. They use it both to help us answer some of the more challenging technical questions.
Yep.
But also they use it to get a feel and have their thumb on the pulse of what's happening in the marketplace. So as things come out there, at ISE is usually where you see the latest and the greatest in the new technologies that are emerging. It's an opportunity to make sure that even in Brookings, South Dakota, we have a feel for what's going on from a global perspective.
Nice.
So you said the latest and greatest technologies that are coming out. Is there anything really cool that you've seen there or you've heard is coming this year?
So some of the things that I've seen this year and that I've heard have been coming out, there's some LED fan style things. Not sure exactly how those fit into the market, but it looks interesting when I've seen it at different shows. There's a lot coming out with chip-on-board type products, as well as micro-LED and mini-LED. All of those technologies that are variants of the LED standard LED technology have really coming to the forefront and becoming more price competitive to where they're feasible products.
So that's kind of leading into what's Daktronics bringing this year.
What is Daktronics bringing? We actually have a very exciting release this year. We're releasing a new series of chip-on-board displays.
Okay.
What we'll be showcasing at the show is a 1.2-millimeter chip-on-board. What's really unique about it, most of the offerings that we've seen into the market to this point have been around 800 to 1,000 nits of brightness, mm-hmm. which is suitable for indoor, but really is challenged in high ambient light conditions.
Okay.
Our offering is going to be up to 6,000 nits of brightness.
Wow.
So that means that it's an indoor display with the capability of being in outdoor brightness conditions. So it's ideally suited for retail environments, maybe inside of a window as passerbys walk outside where it's being hit with direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Also for public spaces that like courts in a mall that have high ambient lights that maybe have glass all overhead with a lot of light coming in.
Like bigger atrium areas.
Atrium areas. Yeah. Anywhere where you would need a high brightness application. It is an indoor display, but it is much more durable with the chip-on-board technology as well. So when you might have someone that would come up and potentially touch it or brush by it, when you get into a 1.2-millimeter, those super fine pitch, those displays are very delicate and very fragile.
Yep.
Standard SMD technology really struggles in areas where it could have any type of a physical contact with a person, employee, passerby. Chip-on-board is much more durable from that respect.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've seen sometimes in concourses where people maybe have, it's like the red velvet rope to keep people from getting too close to some of the displays, but
it's like in an art gallery. They put the ropes in front. Don't touch the paintings.
Look, don't touch. That made me think of stadiums too, right? Because you say it's indoor, doesn't mean that it's not going to be exposed to the brightness from the sun, the ambient light, because there's a lot of stadiums now that have concourses with full walls, you know, right on the other side of the concourse, beating down on it. So I know we've been seeing LED being used a lot more in those applications where usually it's just been LCD video walls and whatnot.
Yes, this would be a great application for that. It does have potential for some outdoor applications as well, but okay. It would need to be in an environmental enclosure. So our street furniture type application or something where it's behind glass and in an environmental enclosure to keep humidity and the elements off it would be important element for that.
And it sounds like this is something that could stop people. If they see something like this, they'll stop and take a look at it. Do we have anything else that might attract people's attention coming to our booth this year?
Well, based on high demand, one of the most popular elements of our stand last year was having a module encased in a block of ice.
There we go.
Encased in it is like ice on the outside and you just put it in the middle? Or is this completely frozen solid with ice right against the parts?
It is completely frozen solid with ice touching all parts of it. So we put it in a bucket of water, essentially, and they froze it.
It's really sophisticated here.
It's a very big bucket of water that they put it in. So we did send it to an ice sculptor to have it embedded into that. But it's a very large block of ice. We will be running some content on it this year. Last year, we just had it in a test cycle. We had some questions about whether it was really working in there. Oh. And so this year, we hooked up a extra player, and we'll be running live content as much as you can get on a single module.
You'll be able to actually change the content if somebody asks you to?
You bet we can.
Nice.
Oh, so that's how you get away from saying it's actually a real functioning module.
There you go.
Wow. So then how does it eventually, don't say it, Justin, but I mean, eventually melt, right? Like
it does melt.
How long does it last with like the module running inside of it? Is it like, well, do you have to do a new one each day or will it last the whole
show? So last year we did two. So we had one about halfway through the show, we swapped it out. It never even got down to where the module was exposed last year. Okay. So this year we're expecting, it's a slightly larger block of ice to accommodate the stand that we put it on inside the block of ice.
Okay.
But we expect it to last the whole show.
I have a question. Is there just an intern with a mop standing around that thing? Or what's the details of how you keep that from causing a mess?
So the stand that we had built for it has a drainage system so as that ice block drains away, it funnels down into a bucket within the stand. So several times throughout the day, someone gets the wonderful opportunity to carry the bucket out.
See, it's a little more sophisticated. At least there's not just, we put this on a table and once it starts melting, we clean up.
It sounds simple, just putting a block of ice, but there's quite a few logistics to it, right?
Yeah.
There is. It's an exciting element, though. I don't think anybody walked by our space last year that didn't come up and touch it to see if it was a real block of ice.
I would say, because that, like, as it melts and improves, it is that, right? It's not some, like, kind of fake thing that it's enclosed in that looks like a block of ice, but...
I saw a couple people thinking it was fake. They came up and touched it and literally jumped. They're like, it's cold. It's cold. Ice is typically cold.
Yeah, ice is cold. This is details.
You're asking who was cleaning it up because I didn't know if you had people come by with like hair dryers to just kind of hold on to show that it actually does melt and can slowly work as it comes down, but that might look a little weird.
People coming around with hair dryers. Yeah,
you don't think it is real? Melt a corner. Let it go on it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We kind of had known that the ice block thing was coming, but that's always a fun feature to call out and get people to come into the booth. You also mentioned, though, that this is the last year, at least that we know of, right? For a while, it's going to be in Amsterdam.
Correct.
And then you said, where is it going to be next year? Barcelona
is where it's moving to next year. The dates for that are, I have that here somewhere.
Oh.
I do not have the dates for that, so...
Okay, I didn't know how
it'll be in 2021.
Yeah,
are they gonna
that's a good date.
Did they say, though, are they going to keep doing it there? Like, how many years did they let you know ahead of time? Like, where
I believe it's planned to be a semi-permanent move there, so it's going to be there for the foreseeable future. If they outgrow Fira Barcelona, then we'll see where they go after that.
Yeah, because sometimes we have, like, our shows here domestically is... Sometimes they're always in one spot. Sometimes they alternate each year, or sometimes they will never announce where the next one is until the other one ends. So I had no idea, like, how far in advance do they schedule it out. But
and we'll go back to the ice block you were just talking about. That's obviously a big draw. What's your favorite part of the show?
You know, my favorite part of the show, I like seeing the new technology, but to me, it's really about connecting with the people from around the world. I have a lot of our customers that I've met over the years, many of them come to the show as their go-to show. I also get a chance to meet with all of the trade publications and different industry personnel that I otherwise don't ever get to see face to face. And I find huge value in having personal relationships and not just being someone being another name on an email or a number behind a phone call. That face-to-face meeting is something that I value quite highly as part of my going to the show.
Yeah, it's got to be for internal, right, as well. I mean, seeing different people from Daktronics from various offices in person. We always talk about how that helps even when people come back here for training and whatnot, just having a face to go with something, right?
Very much so. So whenever we can bring people from all around the world to one location, it really allows us to network and build those relationships across the board. In a much less expensive way, because it's quite expensive to fly all the places around the world to build those relationships. So anytime we can have that interaction for both our employees and with our customers, that's a spectacular value for us.
Have you heard anything about what other people enjoy from the show outside of Daktronics? Do you have any feedback from people that have visited our stand and what they liked about it?
Sure. Most of the feedback is very similar to mine. The part that they really enjoy is getting that face-to-face contact with people from around the world and being able to have a technology showcase, which is always fun. Anytime you can see something cool and new, that's really exciting for any of us in this industry. We love the new techie type stuff. And customers really like seeing those new elements and spending the time with our people that they otherwise often don't get to because of logistics.
Like LED fans?
like LED fans.
Right. Are you excited, like anticipating this show? I mean, when Matt gets excited when he knows he's getting a new cell phone and he waits and talks about it for weeks on end. Oh. Are you as excited about this show as Matt would be about a cell phone?
I am. Personally, I love the LED stuff, but I also like going over into the camera gear and some of the other elements of the AV, which I personally enjoy. They have a big drone arena where they have drones flying around in there. So they got some really cool stuff that's fun to go see.
Cool.
I was going to say, because I keep thinking about the LED fan, but I've been to some smaller like AV type shows and there's always something crazy going on. So that's why I was curious if is there anything you've seen in the previous years besides an LED fan that was just, it was cool, but weird.
So one of the things that I saw that was really cool, but it was hard to imagine how it would be used in practice, as there was a hologram projector.
Okay.
But it was so big and projected such a small little hologram that it was really hard to see how it could be used in any type of a retail environment.
Yeah.
But it was very cool. And I'm like, that would be really neat. I wonder how they're going to make that in a small size. So projecting big instead of a big unit projecting small.
Yeah. So we've got holograms, LED fans, all these exciting things coming up at this show. When is that show one more time?
You bet. The show is on February 11th to the 14th.
And we'll be in stand?
We are in stand K245 in Hall 8.
All right. So hopefully we can entice some people to come out there with this podcast and stop by our stand and visit us and see the new chip on board technology, 1.2 millimeter, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And the ice block. Don't forget about the ice block.
I was getting there, but I'm glad you jumped in with that, Matt. Well, thank you for coming and joining us today, Jason, and telling us about ISE.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.